Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Well, good morning, church. It is so awesome to be with you here today. It's so awesome to see all your beautiful faces. And it's my great privilege to be able to share the word of God with you this morning. I'm excited to share with you. But before we do that, won't you please jump to your feet, stand with me. Let's just prepare our hearts to receive this morning. And so if that looks like raising your hands or putting your hand on your heart, just get in a posture to receive as we pray this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these special moments. We thank you that we can gather in your house, Lord. We pray this morning that you would quiet our hearts and quiet our minds. We ask, Lord, that you would remove all distractions from us so that we can hear your voice clearly today. Lord, we ask that your truth would land in our hearts today, God, that we would receive your word with open hearts and with humility and joy. We ask that your truth would transform us from within. May you receive all the honor and all the glory through everything we do and say today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, church. You can take your seats. Turn to your neighbor and say, Easter is here. And turn to your other neighbor and say, invite someone. Awesome. Have you ever said yes to something that you wish you said no to? Think about it for a second. I'm sure there's a lot of things you can think of. Maybe you said yes to another episode on Netflix at like midnight. And then when you looked again, it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. You'd finished a whole series and your alarm clock was basically laughing at you. Ever been there? Maybe you said yes to a free trial on an app on your phone, you know, because you want to get with the trends, you want to get in with it, what's happening on Instagram and stuff. And so you see this cool app, you sign up for the free trial, and then you have that gut-wrenching moment 7 days later when the subscription comes off your account because you forgot to cancel it. Maybe you said yes to helping a family member or a friend move house. We all love moving house, right? It's like such a fun thing to do. But when you arrived on the day, you realized very quickly that none of the packing had actually been done, and you spent the better part of the day packing boxes before any of the actual moving could take place. Maybe you said yes to that date. Okay, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. The point I'm trying to make this morning is that there are things in our lives that we have said yes to that we wish we could have said no to. And the truth, church, is this, that when we say yes to something, we're actually saying no to something else. Say yes to endless scrolling on your phone and we're saying no to meaningful conversations. Say yes to overcommitting and you're saying no to rest. Say yes to fear and we're saying no to faith. But here's the flip side. Every time we say no to something, We're also saying yes to something else. Every time we say no to something, we're also saying yes to something else. Say no to hitting the snooze button on your alarm clock, and we say yes to starting our day with purpose. Say no to distractions, and we say yes to focus. Say no to toxic relationships, and we say yes to peace. Say no to sin, and we say yes to obedience. This seemingly insignificant two-letter word, no, actually holds a lot more power than we realize. And that's exactly what we're going to be looking at today. We are continuing with our Lent series. We kicked it off last week, and Pastor Amy shared an amazing, powerful, helpful word all about the postures of the heart. If you didn't catch it, please jump onto our YouTube channel and go and catch up. It's amazing. It's going to help you. But today, I'm excited to continue on that journey. And the title of my message this morning is The Power of Saying No. There is power when we say no. Firstly, let's quickly recap on what the season of Lent is all about. Lent is a 40-day period of prayer, fasting, and repentance. It's observed by many Christians in preparation for Easter. It begins on Ash Wednesday, and it ends on Holy Saturday, which is the Saturday before Easter Sunday. And the 40 days symbolizes the time Jesus spent fasting in the wilderness before his public ministry began. And so Lent is a season of reflection, discipline, and preparation. It's a time where we intentionally move away from the distractions that keep us from God, and we intentionally move closer towards God. And this prepares us for Easter, where we get to celebrate the amazing thing that Jesus did for us on the cross. And one of the most powerful lessons we learn during Lent is the power of saying no. Saying no isn't just about resisting temptation or denying ourselves something. It's about making room for something greater. And you know, Jesus models this so beautifully in Matthew chapter 4. And this is where we find ourselves today in Scripture. And so in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness. He is fasting and praying for 40 days. He's relying on God. He's praying, fasting, because he knows that his public ministry is going to begin after that 40 days. And after the 40 days, Satan comes along and tempts him 3 times. And so we're going to take a look at it. We're going to jump into Matthew chapter 4, verses 1. Are you ready, church? Let's see what it says. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him. "For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Here, Jesus himself shows us the power of saying no. In the wilderness, when the enemy came to tempt Jesus with power and comfort and shortcuts, Jesus said no. But he wasn't just saying no to sin. He wasn't just saying no to Satan. He was saying yes to God. And so today we're going to be looking at and unpacking 3 powerful lessons that we can learn from Jesus. We're going to look at how the time in the wilderness prepared him for the greatest no's in history. Are you ready this morning, church? Are you awake? Awesome. Point number 1. Saying no is possible. Saying no is possible. One of our greatest struggles when it comes to saying no comes down to belief. Specifically, the belief that it's even possible. Maybe in the past we've tried to resist temptation. Maybe we've tried to say no, but we failed. And then what starts to happen is we begin to believe that saying no is beyond us. And then we rationalize it and we convince ourselves, saying, you know, what is the point even? Why should I even attempt to fight back? Because I am just not strong enough to say no. And this is exactly what the enemy wants us to believe. This is the mindset and the space that he wants us to live in. But church, it's a lie. It's a big lie. Because saying no is possible. And one of the ways that makes saying no possible is by learning to say no. Learning. You know, trying and learning are 2 different things completely. Trying can be such a defeating concept. It's a bit of like a hit and miss concept. You know, we might have tried to do some things in our lives and maybe sometimes we come right. But there are many times that we try to do things and we fail. And so trying opens the door to failure. But learning is something so different. And just using a simple, silly example today. Let's say today I decide I want to build a house. I'm gonna try and build a house. And so after the service, say goodbye to everyone, head on to Builder's Warehouse, go and order all the materials, get everything delivered to the piece of land, which apparently I own. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it. And so the truck comes and delivers everything and I look around and I see all these things and I say, right, I've got everything I need. I'm going to try and build a house now. I can 100% guarantee you that I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail badly because I don't know the first thing that, you know, I don't know the first thing about building a house. I don't understand the basics and the fundamentals of building. I don't know how to throw a slab and reinforce concrete and lay bricks. I don't even know how to mix concrete properly, like in the right proportions. So if I try and build a house like that, I will most definitely fail. But if I learn, if I first learn how to build a house, if I go to YouTube, because let's be honest, we all go to YouTube, right? If you want to learn something, where do you go? YouTube? University of YouTube, right? Okay, so if I go to YouTube and I learn how to build a house and I go and do all the research and I go and speak to people, professionals who are like masters in the field and I say, hey man, listen, teach me, show me, give me advice and I do all the diligence and I go through everything and I start to practice mixing concrete and I start to practice laying brick. If I do all of that and then I build a house, I will be successful. And so trying and learning are way different. Trying might open the door to failure, but learning opens the door to success. And so church, when it comes to saying no, it's not a matter of trying, it's a matter of learning. We need to recognize that saying no is a process. It's not something that just comes naturally to people. It's not a default setting for us. It's something that needs to be practiced, like a muscle, exercising a muscle. The more we use it, the more we exercise it, the stronger it becomes. And then over time, the easier it becomes. And the same is true for saying no. And there will be moments where we are successful at it. And yes, there will be moments where we struggle and fail at it. But perseverance is key to winning the battle of saying no. And so there's something that's required of us to say no. There's something required of us. There's a commitment. There is a perseverance. There is a commitment to learning and persevering and practicing to win the battle of saying no. But just because there is something that we need to do doesn't mean we have to do it in our own strength. A great comfort to us this morning is that we are not alone when we say no. We are not alone when we say no. You know, in the wilderness, Jesus relied on something greater than his own physical strength. Jesus leaned on God. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the scriptures say Jesus was hungry. I'm sure he was. Any person would be. And remember, Jesus was 100% God, but he was 100% man. He had laid down his divinity when he came to earth. He was a man. He was weak after 40 days of no food. But you see, he might have been physically weak, but spiritually, he was strong. Jesus said no to food for 40 days, but what he also did is he said yes to God for 40 days. And because of that, it enabled him, it empowered him to say no when temptation came knocking. I love this quote by Adrian Rogers. He says, "You will never be able to say no to sin until you first said yes to God." So true. Church, saying no isn't just about self-discipline. It doesn't come from our sheer willpower either. And the thing is, we were never meant to say no alone. That wasn't God's plan. We were always meant to rely on him, something greater than ourselves. We were always meant to rely on God's faithfulness and on his unfailing power. And this is what Jesus chose to do. Jesus chose to lean on God. And today we can learn from Jesus. We can look at how he leaned on God and we can learn how to say no from Jesus. And so Jesus leaned on God in two ways. Firstly, Jesus leaned on the word of God. When the devil came to tempt him, Jesus used the word of God as his defense. When the enemy came to entice him with all sorts of things, he responded with scripture every single time. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Scripture. Jesus' responses were scriptures. And so Jesus' no's were immediately followed up with scripture. This is a powerful principle that's available to us, all of us, but one that we so often fail to use or to remember. We try to fight the battle of temptation with an unloaded gun. We pull the trigger, we say no, but there's no bullet in the chamber. And church, this begs the question, what kind of no's are we saying? Are our no's useless, powerless, blank rounds? Or are our no's powerful, high caliber, armor-piercing rounds because they are armed by the word of God? It's not enough just to say no. It's not enough just to say no. Our no's need to be powerful. They need to be backed by the word of God, and that's what Jesus did. I think so often we walk around with a box of bullets in our pocket. God has given us the bullets, but we don't put them in the gun. An empty gun is useless, church. We need to load the gun, cock it, and have it ready for the next time that temptation comes knocking. Because when it shows its ugly face then, and when we pull the trigger then we will shut it up and it will be dead in its tracks right there, the same way that Jesus did. God has given us a way out. God has given us a way out from temptation. And scripture reminds us of that. In 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it says, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God has given us an escape, church. He's given us the bullets. He's given us the things we need to say no, but it's up to us to do something about it. Not only did Jesus lean on the word of God, but he also leaned on the power of the Holy Spirit. Going back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus wasn't just on his own mission. He didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, 40 days in the wilderness of fasting and prayer sounds like a good idea. I'm just going to do that. No, he was led by the Spirit. He was obeying the Holy Spirit. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. He asked for strength from the Holy Spirit because he knew he needed it. His public ministry was going to begin. He needed the Holy Spirit. Church, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit every single day, every single moment of every single day? Dwight L. Moody says this, the Holy Spirit is the secret of the power in our lives. We must be filled with him daily if we are to have the strength to say no to sin and yes to God. We need the Holy Spirit. And so what we see here, when we look at Jesus and what he did here, what we see is that Jesus had a system. He had a structure. Jesus had a system to say no. And we can have a system as well. In fact, church, if we are serious about overcoming certain things in our lives, if we are serious about saying no and having victory over things that have a hold on us in our life, then we should have a system just like Jesus, a system to say no. And so this morning, I want to offer some practical ways on how we can have just that, a system to say no. And so we can have a system to say no by firstly immersing ourselves in Scripture. Excuse me. Memorizing and meditating on God's word daily equips us with the truth when temptation comes. I've got to be real and honest with you guys this morning. When I was preparing for this message and I got to this point, I was so convicted. Because I'm just going to be honest. I realized I don't know a lot of scripture off the heart. I haven't memorized a great deal of scripture. I know some. Most of them are like the mainstream ones that you always see on like Facebook or you hear people quoting often. I know those ones and a few others. But what I realized is that I don't know scripture, specifically scripture that is relevant to the things that I struggle with. When Satan came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, whoa, hang on now, just hold that thought. And he quickly ran and grabbed his phone and he was like, right, Google, give me 5 scriptures that are relevant to this temptation. He didn't say, hey, ChatGPT, give me 5 this or 5 that. He didn't do that. Jesus was full of the scripture. He had memorized scripture. Scripture was part of who he was. And so he was able to fire those scriptures off one after the other, which shut the devil up right there and then. It's not on the screen, but in Psalm 119:11, it says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What do our hearts look like, church? Are they full, overflowing to the brim? Is scripture just flowing out of us? Are we ready to fire it off? Is the gun loaded and ready? Or are our hearts empty? Are we scraping at the bottom of the barrel when temptation comes our way? We need to be full of scripture. The gun needs to be loaded. Secondly, we can have a system to say no by our daily reliance on the Holy Spirit. We need to actively seek the Holy Spirit's strength. This means praying daily and asking God for the power to resist temptation. Again, on this point, a lot of self-reflection. Because I realize, you know, I have my quiet time every day. I pray and I communicate with God. And that prayer, you know, consists of a couple of things. It might be praising His name, saying thank you. It might be asking Him for stuff. It might be sharing like hurts and burdens with Him, just being real with Him. It might be sharing my dreams and my visions with Him. There's a lot of things that make up my prayer life. But I realize that not often do I actually say with my own, like the actual words, Holy Spirit, give me the strength to say no to temptation. This should be on our prayer list every single day. We should be praying this every single day. Jesus did it for 40 days and 40 nights and He fasted. He was serious about it. Church, we need the Holy Spirit. We need His strength if we're going to see success in this thing. If you want to say no, you need the Holy Spirit. And so why not pray about it every single day? Make a point of it. Put a sticky note somewhere on your dash or on your mirror, whatever it is, and pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you so that you can say no to temptation. And thirdly, by practicing saying no. And so the more we practice, the easier it becomes. We should take small, consistent steps in resisting the things that draw us away from God, like the muscle again. The more we exercise it, the stronger we get, the easier it becomes. And so, church, God has given us everything we need to say no. Saying no is possible. We need to believe it. We need to persevere. We need to lean on the power of the Word. We need to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to practice. We need to learn. We need to do all these things. And as we do this, God will strengthen us and get us ready for the battles down the line. We will see victory. If we can implement this system daily, church, I know that we will see victory. I know we'll see it. Amen? Amen? Point number two, the small no's prepare us for the big no's. You know, Jesus said no for 40 days. And it might seem like, you know, not such a big thing to say no to food. Yeah, fasting is hard, but in the bigger scheme of things, you know, but He said no. On day one, He said no to food. Day two, day three, day 10, day 20, day 30, day 40, Jesus said no. 40 no's. Then Satan comes along and he tempts Jesus. And the first temptation had to do with physical need. He tempts Jesus to change stones into loaves of bread because Jesus was hungry. That's what the scripture says. But Jesus says no. The second temptation was for Jesus to throw Himself off the temple and to test whether God would save him. And so it was testing God's faithfulness, God's goodness, God's character. But Jesus says no. And these were not isolated decisions. These were stepping stones. These were building blocks that led up to a much bigger no. Because the third temptation from Satan was a big one. It was different. It was about power and glory. And Satan tempts Jesus and shows Him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, you can have everything if you just bow down and worship me. But Jesus says no. And this teaches us an important lesson, church. And it's that every small no strengthens us for a bigger no down the road. If we want to stand firm in big moments, when moral dilemmas come our way, or when challenges or trials come our way, if we want to be successful in those moments, we need to choose to be successful in the small moments, in our everyday lives, in our everyday situations. Luke 16 verse 10 says, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much. And so it's true in saying, if we are righteous in little, we will be righteous in much. How we handle small decisions determines how we will handle bigger ones. If we consistently say no in small areas, we build the strength to say no when it truly matters. And so a practical application for us on this point, something that we can do is to identify the small opportunities in our lives where we can practice saying no. And I want to call them this morning the small no's. And my small no's might be looking different to your small no's because you might be struggling with other things and I might be struggling with other things. But this morning, I just wanted to throw up 10 examples of a small no's. And so you'll see for every point, there's a reference scripture. I'm not going to read the scriptures this morning because we don't have time for that. But what I want to encourage you is if any of these points speak to you, if any of these points are relevant to you, then grab your phone and take a picture. And then when you get home and during the week, go and look at this point. Go and read the reference scripture and go and find 10 more scriptures. Get all the bullets you can have. Get everything you need, all the bullets you need so that you can be ready for the next time this comes your way so that you are ready to say no to it. Amen? So let's just go through some of them real quick. Number one, no to gossip, refusing to engage in negative talk. No to laziness, choosing to be diligent in work. No to impatience, practicing patience in frustrating moments. No to complaining, replacing grumbling with gratitude. No to unhealthy habits, choosing discipline in small daily decisions. Number six, no to comparison, finding contentment in Christ rather than envying others. No to fear, trusting God instead of letting fear make our decisions for us. No to pride, humbling ourselves and asking for help when it's needed. No to distractions, prioritizing time with God over mindless scrolling or entertainment. And number 10, no to selfishness, choosing to serve others even when it's inconvenient. And again, these are just 10 examples. There are countless more, but the point is we actually need to go and do this exercise. I want to encourage you, do yourself a favor and go and do this exercise. Identify 10 small no's and then begin practicing that in your life. And there are opportunities all around us. I mean, if we just look at, for example, number 10, selfishness. If you feel like you have an issue with selfishness in your life, and it's okay, because we've all been there. We've all had our moments of selfishness. We all are selfish sometimes. But if you are feeling like you're just making it about your own life and living in your own bubble, and that's kind of where you stay, then begin to seek out opportunities to make it about other people. There are opportunities around us every single day. In fact, there are opportunities right here at church. There are so many ways that you can serve others at church. Go and speak to someone. Go to the info desk. Speak to someone. The people with the eyes serve lanyards on and stuff. Speak to someone. Say, hey, man, listen, I want to get involved. How can I get involved? How can I get plugged in? How can I serve others? And by doing that, you are directly countering selfishness. By doing that, you are saying no to selfishness. Get involved, serve others. It's awesome, trust me. We need to start small. We need to stay consistent, and we will watch how God strengthens us for the bigger battles down the road. Point number three, saying no is saying a bigger yes. You know, I think so often when we say no, it feels like we are missing out, like we are denying ourselves something. We're losing out on something. You know, maybe we're denying ourselves pleasure or, fulfillment or joy, or we're denying ourselves something valuable. But the truth is, when we say no to something, when we say no to these things, to sin, to temptation, what we're actually doing is we're saying yes to something so much bigger and so much greater. Jesus knew that. When we say no to temporary pleasures, distractions, or sin, we are saying yes to a deeper, richer, and more fulfilling life in Christ. And that's what makes this season of Lent so beautiful and so powerful, because that's exactly what we're doing. We are saying no to these things, no to distractions, no to sin, so that we can say yes to God, so that we can make room for the bigger and the greater thing that He is calling us to. I remember a moment in my life where I had to say no. It was a big no moment. It was difficult. It was tough. And I had grown up with the same group of friends pretty much my whole schooling career from about grade four. We were in the same primary school. And so we went through primary school, into high school, went all to the same high school, throughout high school, and even after school. Great bunch of guys, really good guys, loyal friends. They knew my background. They knew where I came from. They knew my dad was a pastor. They knew I was involved in church and youth and Sunday school and all these things. And so I think in some ways I had a bit of a good influence in their lives, but I was also influenced. I was also influenced. And I found myself doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, and I found myself going to places that I shouldn't have been. And I remember I was out of school, and we were out one night in a nightclub, and this moment marked me forever. This moment changed everything for me. And I was standing in the middle of the dance floor, and everybody was doing their thing, what they usually do in a nightclub. And I had already had a couple of drinks in me, and instantly God sobered me up, right there in the middle of that dance floor. And he gave me eyes to see the way he sees things. And I remember being so burdened and overwhelmed, looking around and seeing how God sees all of this. And I knew in that moment God was saying to me, my son, this is not it. This is not what I'm calling you to. There's something better. This is not what I envisioned for you. This is not what I envisioned for all these people in this place. I have something greater. I'm calling you to something greater. And I remember that marked me. And so I knew I had to do something about it. And so I called a meeting shortly after that with my friends. We met at a local pub where we always get together. And I remember I had such a lump in my throat because I knew like this was going to be tough. Like I had to say no now, and it was going to be a tough moment. But I trusted God. And so I said, okay, guys, listen, I love you. I appreciate you as friends. I value you as my friends. We've been through so much together. But today I'm here to tell you, and I've called this meeting to tell you that from now on, I'm not going to be doing certain things with you. From now on, I'm not going to be going to certain places with you. Today, I draw a line in the sand, and today I say no. Yeah, amen. And I remember there was so much confusion and there was like hurts. I could see the hurts on their faces and there were so many whys coming back at me and I didn't have answers for many of those whys. And I remember walking away from that evening feeling like I just lost something so big, like feeling like I just lost something, feeling hurt, feeling scared, feeling like, whoa, man, did I just make the right decision? What am I doing? But I chose to trust God. And so I said, okay, and there were some lonely times because I wasn't going out with them on weekends and doing the things that they were doing. But I started pressing into the things of God. I said, okay, if I'm not going to go there, I'm going to start getting into the Word. I'm just going to start worshiping God. I'm going to focus on church. I'm going to focus on serving. I'm going to focus on leading the youth. I'm going to focus on these things, focus on my worship drumming. And as I did that, God began to build me. And church, if I had to be honest with you today, if I had to look at myself right now, this second, standing on this platform, having the great privilege of sharing the Word of God with you, being part of a life-giving church, being surrounded with people that love God, being surrounded by people who love me, who believe in me, having a loving wife, having three beautiful kids, looking back on everything that God has done in my life over the years to get me to where I am now, and it's just getting started. Yes, amen. If I look at all of that, then that no doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. In fact, nothing, it couldn't compare even if it wanted to. And it's not because I'm special, it's because of God's grace, because of his goodness. And I want to encourage you this morning, church, if there is something that you are holding on to, something that you feel emotionally attached to, something that you just can't get let go of because you're scared, you're scared to let go because you don't know what's going to happen if you say no. I want to encourage you this morning. God is calling you to something so much greater. That no is not going to compare because God has got so much in store for you. He's got plans for you, plans to prosper you, a hope and a future for you. Things that you can't even imagine. He's got that for you. Maybe it's time to say no. So what I realized in my life is there are so many benefits to saying yes to God. When we say no to the world, we say yes to God, and there are so many benefits. The Word teaches us, forget not his benefits. There are benefits, church. There's benefits when we say yes to Jesus. And you know, Jesus understood this. Jesus understood this principle perfectly. He continually said no to worldly temptations because he had a bigger yes in mind. He said no to turning stones into bread because he had a greater hunger for God's word. He said no to testing God because he fully trusted the Father. He said no to ruling the world under Satan's terms because he had a greater kingdom to establish, the kingdom of God. Ultimately, he said no to all of that. To all of the sin, to all of the opportunities, to all of the temptation. He said no to all of that to say yes to the cross. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm standing here today because Jesus said no. We are sitting in this place today because Jesus did it. We get to experience the joy and the fulfillment of having a relationship with the one true God, the creator of the whole universe. We get to have that because Jesus said no. His no to temporary comfort led to the yes of eternal victory. And at the end of the day, church, after everything is said and done, Jesus said no to say yes to us. That's what he did. He said no so he could say yes to me. And he said no so he could say yes to all of you. That's our King. That's what Jesus did for us. And so maybe this question for us this morning is, what no is God calling you to? What is he calling you to say no to? And more than that, what greater yes is he inviting you into? And so I want to take a moment and make this personal this morning. So if you could just close your eyes and bow your head and just for a moment, think about those two questions. What is God calling you to say no to? And what bigger yes is he inviting you into? Maybe you've been trying to say no, but you keep failing. Maybe you've lost hope that it's even possible. But there's good news, church. The same power that empowered Jesus to say no back then is available to us right now. The Word of God says that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And that's why I can confidently say this morning that there is freedom available in this place because Jesus is here. He's here right now and he's offering us freedom. And so I want to pray for two categories of people this morning. Firstly, I want to pray for anybody in this place who is struggling to say no to something. And that might be addiction, it might be smoking, vaping, drugs, pornography, gambling, whatever it is. If there is an addiction, if there is something that's got a hold on you and you are struggling to say no to it, I want to pray for you. If there is something that it could be things like unforgiveness or bitterness or jealousy or comparison, envy, if there is something that's got a hold on you and you know it, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you today. So what I want to ask, I want to ask you to take a step of faith and I want you to stand right where you are. And there's no shame in it because I'm standing first. I will be the first to stand. Because there are things in my life that I need to say no to. And so I want to ask you to be brave this morning. If there is things that you need freedom from in your life, then now is your moment. This is the moment where you draw the line in the sand. This is the moment that you receive freedom because God has freedom for us right now in this place. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for standing. There's no shame in it. I believe that today God wants to do something in your life, that he wants to free you from this thing. Thank you for having the bravery and the courage to stand. And so right where you are, church, if there is someone that's standing around you, I just want you to stand up and put your hand on their shoulder or extend your hand out towards them. Let them know that they are not alone, that you're believing with them. As your church family, you are believing and trusting with them for freedom. Let's be the church in this moment and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we call on your name, not just any name, the name above all names. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross for our sins. Thank you that you died and you overcame death and you rose again. And because of what you did, there is no other name that carries more power and more glory and more honor than yours. There is no other name that is above your name. And so right now, I speak the name of Jesus over addiction in this place. I speak the name of Jesus over cigarettes. I speak the name of Jesus over vaping, over pornography, over drugs, over gambling, over social media, over entertainment. Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over envy, over unforgiveness, over pride, Lord, over these things. Anything that is trying to surpass your name in this place, in anybody's life here today, Lord, I speak the name of Jesus Christ over that thing. And I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that through your blood, Lord, that you can set us free. And so by faith now, Lord, we receive that by faith. We receive freedom. We thank you for the freedom that you are offering. And by faith now, Jesus, we receive that freedom. Thank you that you have heard our cries. Thank you that you have heard our hearts. thank you for responding today, Jesus. By faith now we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. And then as we stay in this atmosphere, I want to pray for a second group of people. And that's for anyone that hasn't said yes to Jesus. Maybe you just said no to an addiction or no to something in your life. But you're about to say yes to something that will power up that no like you've never experienced in your life. Because when we say yes to Jesus, He comes into our life and He changes things. He turns things upside down for the better. He makes our life better. He empowers us. He teaches us. He guides us through His word. He empowers us to be different, to be better. And so if that is you this morning, if you want to say yes to Jesus, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in 3, 2, 1. If you want to say yes to Jesus, put up your hand now. Thank you so much, man. I see your hand over there. I just want to see who you are. Just keep your hand until I thank you, sir. I see you. Thank you over there, man. I see you. Thank you at the back there. I see your hand. This is your moment to say yes to Jesus and to say no to the world. Thank you, sir. I see your hand over here. I'm going to give it one more moment, one more call. If you know that it's time, thank you over there. I see your hand. Thank you. If you know it's time to say yes to Jesus, then take a risk. Take a step of faith and put up your hand now. It'll change your life forever. It will change, this decision will change your life forever. Anybody else? Thank you on the balcony. I see your hand over there. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you guys now. And I just want to give you some language to process this moment. But I want to ask you, as I pray, just make this prayer your own. Say it quietly in your heart with me. You ready for that? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I admit and acknowledge that I need you in my life. I've tried to do life my own way, but today I surrender my life to you. Today I say yes to you, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for paying the price for me so that today I can receive new life in this moment through you. Today I choose to walk away from my old ways. I choose to step into your ways. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would empower me, give me the power that I need to walk away from sin, to turn from sin completely, and to say yes to you, Jesus, every single day of my life until my end of my life, that I will serve you, that I will say yes to you. Thank you for your great love for me. I receive it now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website, and for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.